WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Firefighters are trying to get control of multiple wildfires in California. The most significant is the Gifford Fire, burning in the central part of the state. At least four people have been injured and more than 96,000 acres burned across two counties. CBS's Jason Allen.
We've been watching as firefighters and sheriff deputies have been driving up and down the roads here. They have been walking up to the front doors, telling owners that they are now in a mandatory evacuation zone. If they leave, they may not be able to get back in. If they stay, there may not be anybody to come help them.
A couple of state troopers are shot and wounded in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Two state troopers, Joseph Ferrachinsky and William Jenkins, were airlifted to a local hospital after they were both shot. Police say they had responded to a domestic violence call and encountered a man with a rifle who refused to follow orders. Pennsylvania State Police Colonel Christopher Parrish says the troopers were ambushed.
They are very lucky to be alive. Trooper Parrishinsky was able to place a tourniquet on Trooper Jenkins.
The suspect was shot and killed. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
And a woman was shot and killed by the suspect before responding troopers were ambushed. While there are signs that there may soon be face-to-face meeting between President Trump and Russian President Putin, there appears to be a lot of work that needs to be done to make it happen. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
The Kremlin aide said there's actually a venue set and the two leaders are making arrangements to meet. Now, the White House was pretty quick to deny, saying there's no venue and there's no date that they've agreed to yet, but the president is still open to meeting with Russian President Putin.
President Trump is asked by reporters.
Does Putin have to meet with Zelensky in order and before you and Putin have to meet?
Or
you
no, no.
Trump's new round of sweeping tariffs is now in effect. The levies apply to dozens of countries across the globe, including the UK. Other negotiations continue, as CBS's Kelly O'Grady explains.
Mexico has a 90-day extension, and that really seems to be about fentanyl coming across the border. So that seems to be an ongoing talk. China, the deadline is August 12th, and we do know both sides met in Sweden recently. China would like to extend that deadline. The U.S., the president still has to agree to it, so we're sort of a wait and see there.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that to destroy Hamas, Israel intends to take full control of the Gaza Strip. He says Israel would eventually transfer Gaza's administration to friendly Arab forces. BBC correspondent Lise Doucette with more.
Was Prime Minister Netanyahu doing it just as a matter of a means of putting pressure on Hamas in the negotiations? But if so, it's a really, really risky kind of brinkmanship.
This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Prepares for the Jets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers host the New York Jets this Saturday night. Are the players looking forward to playing in their first preseason game? Wide receiver Jaden Reed.
Yeah, it's always excitement, especially going back out of Lambeau, man, like going out to see the fans and, you know, just that environment. It's a different feel. You get chills and I'm excited, you know, for whatever that may be, you know, going out there. I'm excited for it.
Baseball, the Brewers have the night off before opening a weekend series against the Mets. The Crew beat the Braves 5-4 to complete a three-game sweep in Atlanta. Pat Murphy praised Jose Quintana and the pitching staff after the victory.
Bullpen was special tonight. Q, six-inning start. You look at that lineup. Eli White is as hot as anybody. He's got four homers in the last five games or something. Albies, Olsen, Ozuna, Murphy, Profar, Harris. Those guys have been an all-star or whatever. It's a good lineup.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I'm going to take a hard pass on taking comedic advice from Jay Leno. Those are the words of Last Week Tonight host John Oliver. Oliver is absolutely brilliant on his weekly show, where he sometimes will dedicate the whole show to one topic and provide insightful information as well as great laughs, not caring who he offends, and he offends many. Jay Leno, on the other hand, was an outstanding stand-up comedian, and when he took over The Tonight Show, had his funny bone removed, transferring himself into an incredibly mediocre and at times awkward talk show host. According to critics, critics, Leno went painstakingly middle of the road and tried not to offend anyone, thereby turning himself into just an okay host. In his defense, Leno admits he likes political humor, but likes to keep people guessing as to who he was offending or not offending. Oliver, on the other hand, doesn't think his comedy is partisan, but deals more with systemic problems that affect people. If you haven't checked it out, tune in and watch John Oliver not follow Jay Leno's advice. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with lows in the low 70s. Hazy, hot, and humid tomorrow. High in the upper 80s to 90. Heat index approaching 100. Storm chances return for the upcoming weekend. Not as warm, but humid. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens and our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins me for Bar Band Friday Night. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kanagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions.
Welcome, everybody. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Welcome, and I want to just say Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's right, Jaji. Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Come see myself, Jaji, and the rest of our family 10 days leading up to Labor Day at the Minnesota State Fair.
That's awesome. Hey, we're excited to do that. This is our, what, fourth year, fifth
year? Yes, I had to think about it.
I don't even know.
Jeez. It's funny how they start to blend together. But yeah, I was going through my albums on my phone and just to kind of look at all the different pictures from each year and just the growth that we've had and just the things that we've learned and all, I mean, mostly all the wonderful people that have stopped by and supported. I mean, we're so grateful. You're not only supporting myself and Jaji and our family and the next generation, right? You know, the grandbabies, my niece and nephew, but you're also supporting the other artists that we wholesale with. So all Native artists, and come out and see us. It's a great time. Good thing Jelaine and I and Jaji are all extroverted.
Yeah, exactly. I know poor Wendy. She always said that she was an introvert, and then I saw her work every day the fair the first year we were out there, and it was like, oh, she really is an introvert. Because we would Jelaine and I would get pumped up with meeting people and seeing people.
Yeah.
And then I saw her just get the opposite, where she would be drained of energy, and we would be getting sucked up with energy and getting
exactly. You know, both introverts and extroverts need alone time. They need self-care. So I just want to encourage that for everybody, but it's where you gain your energy. And so that's part of the reason why I love being a counselor and love doing jobs that you know, career paths that I engage with other people. I think I would fall asleep if I was sitting in front of a computer all day. But it's amazing those that are introverted and can really focus in and gain that energy when they're by themselves too. So, you know, but for the fair, I would definitely say that comes in handy that, you know, the three of us, my twin sister, myself, and Jaji here, our dad, are very energized by meeting people and connecting and talking to you for, you know, it ends up being about 12-hour days at the fair.
Yeah, it flies. So after once 9 hits, but it will be there an hour earlier than we have in the past because it's opening up an hour earlier.
Yes.
So that'll be really interesting. And also the first 2 days of the fair, I'll be out there live. And I think The Gailey Show is going to do a show at 2 p.m. at our booth. So that'll be great. It'll be interesting. And we'll see what else we can do about getting back out there. But I know the first couple days we'll be out there and enjoying everything. Hey, today's Thursday and we have our friend Robert Lilligren on. And
hey, Robert.
And the Native American Community Development Institute, NACD. Mm-hmm. You've been really practicing that, Robert. How did
doing
that
great.
Sound?
You're doing great.
great to see you twice in one day. I see the offices are being worked on. I had an opportunity to interview a couple people down there, and it was really cool. We talked about the magazine that came out and that we talked a little bit about last week, and then also one of your vendors there, her and her significant other are opening up a store, and they're amazing people. I had no idea, but stay tuned. That's going to be played Monday.
Okay, that's when you're using the interviews? Yeah, I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's always cool. Yeah, it was great seeing you. Sorry, I didn't mean to. It was great seeing you today, and the weather was great, and there was a lot of action at the Four Sisters Market, and we're always excited to be there, promote that, and see people in the community hanging out, and it just was great.
Yeah, it was great. It was always good to see you there. It was a really good day at the market. Got a little warm towards the end, but I'll take this weather and air quality over, say, last week's. And one of the cool crossovers today was with our Make Voting a Tradition, which is civic engagement, voter outreach, voter registration. And there's an opportunity for people to share their food access experience. How do you get your food? Is it easy? Is it good? So they shared that. And then people were given T-shirts and opportunities for some really nice prizes. But I don't know if you got your T-shirt, Robert.
What do you think, Robert?
Because, yeah, knowing you, you probably got several.
First one in line.
Yeah.
Right. And this is artwork from our last election cycle. If you look in the corner, it says vote. And then food is political. And I think that's really good for our community or for everyone to think of it as a political thing. I mean, that relates to everyone's day to day, right? Everyone's daily lives.
Food is political. So true.
Yeah, I know. And that was cool. I answered mine is the cost of food and also the healthiness of the food because of all the chemicals that have been put in since we've been kids, Robert.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. My dad was kind of in radio broadcasting, and he was the agricultural director at WCCO Radio for years. Yeah. And he was very informed. And of course, this is pre-internet when you actually had to go find information. And he used to tell me when we were teenagers, and I was maybe high school age, so back in the mid-70s, and he would say, he said, one of the reasons we enjoy the quality of life that we do in this country is because the accessibility of good, cheap food. Mm-hmm. Right? And he said, but that's changing. He said, this is, you know what, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he said, as more and more corporations take over farming and food supply and food chain, healthy food will become less accessible. And he was right, right? He knew what he was talking about. And so now we're in this era where the cheap food that's accessible is not good for you. Americans are the unhealthiest people in the developed world because of our crappy diet. And so, you know, I've long thought that the approaches to a lot of our challenges these days is local, right? Local food production, local energy generation, things like that. And for me, these parallel really well sort of indigenous strategies, right? Going back to producing your own food, producing your own energy. And so it feels like at our market today, it's a little piece of that.
You know, these are small
local farmers selling good food, good produce, teaching people how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my Dream of Wild Health shirt on today and have it right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to say, too, when you were talking about your father, I remember my mom, Mary, she would always say the food tastes different now, you know, and she was born in the 20s. And so she was saying that in the 70s and 80s.
Sure. Not surprising. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to travel abroad or travel in Europe, and a lot of the markets, it'll tell you how far the food that you're considering purchasing traveled to get there. They'll say 15 kilometers or 30 kilometers. And so, so you're informed and you're aware of where this is coming from. And, you know, these days it's just easier to go to McDonald's or whatever and get this food that isn't good for you. And, but it's, that's what's accessible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wendy became a vegan after watching, what was that? Food Inc. That documentary, and had that family that could only afford McDonald's, and they were getting unhealthy as the minute went on. And it was crazy. But hey, we're with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, NACI, here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. And we're here with, there it is, Jaleesa McKee. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACDI.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. The Minnesota State Fair is more than food on a stick. It's a chance to celebrate Native culture and voices. On August 25th, hear the Red Lake Singers and Amizaska Drum Group during Mental Health Awareness at Dam Patch Park. On August 27th, meet Native authors like Roxanne B2B Nokwe Gold and Stacy Lola Drewyard, and visit the Common Table and learn how Indigenous foodways are shaping Minnesota's future. Get your State Fair tickets now at mnstatefair.org.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey,
shout out Robert.
Hey, there you go. Right on. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, our friend, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And I think the last 2 weeks I've been able to say NACDI correctly.
I love it. Always room for growth, isn't there, Robert?
Yes, that's what I'm hoping for. You know, I'm a lifetime learner and hopefully growing more than the size of my waist. But so, Robert, I love having you on. We have a lot of things happening every day. And I'll give a shout out to our friends in Texas by not trying to fall for this gerrymandering. But there's more things happening now. You know, you got the governor of California talking about doing his own gerrymandering. And now I'm kind of going, this is going to be a big hot mess, possibly.
Yep. It already is kind of a big hot mess, right? And so it's just going to get messier. And, you know, when I hear these Democratic governors, these blue state governors talking about doing their version of gerrymandering, and to me, that's taking democracy out of the hands of the people and the voter and putting it in the hands of very special interests, partisan interests. And it just is so contrary to the whole concept of democracy. But pretty much everything happening right now is contrary to the concept of democracy. And so I'm not a fan of blue states or red states doing gerrymandered redistricting mid-decade, right? I mean, we have this established cadence. Every 10 years, we do a census. Based on that census, we redistribute congressional seats, for one thing, and then draw districts. And there's always an element of partisan interest in drawing districts. We know that. You know, that's part of the dealio. But this blatant, just trying to create congressional majorities by doing this out-of-sequence, mid-decade, gerrymandered redistricting is shocking. And I should say, I can't believe I'm still shocked by what goes on in these partisan conversations, but it's shocking. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, Robert, I was reminded today when it came to our the government, the Democrats leaving Texas and going to Chicago and New York. I forgot, because there's so many things going on, that in Minnesota here, we had the Democrats not showing up because the Republicans wanted to take control of the House and Senate because there was a couple elections out there. And I forgot all about that. There's so much stuff going on.
Yeah, it's a legitimate tactic, right, to withhold quorum. I've done it in my elected life as well, withhold quorum so a committee couldn't act on something that I didn't think they should be acting on. And so that's legitimate, and whatever your party is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's drastic. And to leave your state, I have a hunch that they're not all in Illinois, although I will say Governor Pritzker of Illinois is just really being a hero right now and protecting people. I have a hunch they're a little more dispersed than that, so they're not so easy to round up. But I don't know that, to be super clear. I have no knowledge of where these Texas legislators are. But strategically, it would just make sense to not all be in one place.
Well, the governor of Texas just is sounding more like Trump and making up laws and wanting to fine people and wanting to arrest them. And it's like, you can't do that. They're in a different state.
Right. And, you know, and then to lift up sort of what's underpinning all of this, you know, and I would characterize it as structural or institutional racism, right? And so you have white people who feel very frightened about losing their authorities, which democracy is a numbers game, right? And so as the scales kind of balance out and suddenly white voters aren't going to be the majority voters, you know, that frightens them. And so this is, in my opinion, this looks like a fear-based response, and, you know, to try to take control by cheating. And the only way they know that they can win an election is to cheat by doing this mid-decade redistricting, this gerrymandering. And so, have I shared this with you before? I don't say this in public very often, but ever since we've been kind of moving in this aggressive sort of white supremacy way of functioning in our government here. And I mean, face it, this has always been a white supremacist country, but right now it's just really come to the forefront, you know, since we've had a black president. I think that accelerated some of these feelings. But I have a hunch that a lot of these people who are behaving this way, this fear-based response, they are afraid that people of color will treat them as poorly as they treated people like color for the last few centuries, you know, and that's their fear. So another response could be, let's treat everyone better. Let's acknowledge everyone's humanity and equality. But instead, no, it's this. It's apartheid, trying to promote apartheid-like government. Well, I shouldn't say apartheid-like, apartheid government.
Well, yeah, and we already, we're almost China right now, and I can't believe that Trump is this smart. There's too many people that are probably helping him with this. And like you said, the big fear is that in, you know, 20 years, you know, it'll be a brown majority. Well, right now, with all the voter suppression and all that, I feel like you know, Democrats and progressives do outnumber the Republicans just as a party, and they're doing everything they can, like you said, in Texas and all these other states, and, you know, whether they're getting rid of voting places where BIPOC people vote or districts, it's there. And I'm glad that we can sit here and talk about this and remind people, because there's things I forget that just happened 6 months ago.
Mm. Right. Well, we can talk about it for now, Robert. We'll see where this ends up in a few months, right? And I'm just sort of joking. But when you see things like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting sunsetting, you know, all of these radio stations, a lot of them are partners, you know, Roots Radio, but especially the tribal stations. Yep. The tribal stations, which have just been incredible. I love listening to them. But there are most tribal stations, I think the statistic I read is they're going to lose between 40% and 60% of their funding when the Corporation for Public Broadcasting shuts down. And are they going to be able to make that up, you know?
I think somebody in your family heard us on a WOJB, and that's a 100,000 watt station in Wisconsin that goes to Michigan, Illinois, and of course, Wisconsin and parts of Minnesota. This was a few years ago. I don't know if you remember that story.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And then once I was up in up on the North Shore, and the community radio station there, WTIP, that does a lot of native coverage. It's really good. And I was sitting out, outside grooving on the lake, and my sister-in-law comes over, or maybe it's my brother-in-law, and says, "Oh, they're talking about you on the radio right now. They're talking about you." So I go, and it was you, Robert, on the radio with him. And
yeah.
Like, oh, Robert Lilligren, we should get him on sometime when he's up here.
I remember, too, we had a discussion years ago, and it was like really, you know, taking care of your own self. I think, you had said something to me about almost to the words of keeping your side of the sidewalk clean and not worried about other people when it comes to, you know, what's happening in Indian country and who likes who and who doesn't like who. I remember that conversation with you deeply.
Yeah, ongoing, right? And at NACD, especially since the pandemic and the isolation, you know, the stay-at-home orders, I learned from one of my revered elders, Linda Eagle Speaker, an Indigenous approach was to take care of yourself first, then your family, then your community. And when she was teaching me that, I just pushed against her, you know, and I'm like, "Oh, Linda, we're Indigenous. We care for the whole." And she said, "Robert, that's the colonizer's way. Indigenous way is self, family, then community." And so finally, without any proof, I thought, okay, I'm going to believe her. So I really started to embrace that and implement it in my life. And I saw the transformational impact on my work by doing that. And so then at NACD, we started to all kind of learn that. My coworkers at NACD resisted it at first, just like I did, because it's not the way we're conditioned. But now practicing that for whatever, 3+ years now, it's just amazing. Yeah. The level of performance that our staff has, you know, they come to work, they're cared for, their families are cared for, and they give more than 100%, if that's possible, to their work. That's kind of the little dirty little secret, right? People might think I'm the easiest boss in the world because of this prioritization, but in reality is people perform at such a higher level.
I love it. And it's really working with your coworkers, because the person I interviewed today at the market really spoke highly of that. We did talk a little bit about, and that was great to see the proofs in the pudding. Wow, you know, really excited, excited, Robert. You know, we only got like a less than a minute left here. Is there anything you want to give a shout out to? I always say that.
So just to puncture what we're just talking about, you know, and other organizations notice it as well. And we're all trying to indigenize our operations, and to see an example like this where it's actually working is great. The other thing I want to shout out, we don't have a show at the gallery right now. We're using that as...
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News brief. In northeastern Pennsylvania, a woman is killed by a neighbor who then ambushed responding state troopers, injuring two of them. One of the troopers applied a tourniquet to another. Governor Josh Shapiro.
He quite likely almost saved the life of his partner and the life of community members who were in the area.
The suspect is dead. Officials are concerned that the Gifford Fire in California's Los Padres National Forest is moving toward inhabited areas. CBS's Jason Allen in Santa Maria.
Firefighters are looking at conditions again today of hot temperatures, getting close to 100 degrees, erratic winds again, and they're going to have their work cut out for them trying to keep this fire away from this community.
With a possible meeting between the U.S. and Russia on a Ukraine ceasefire, State Department spokesperson Tommy Pigott on whether the White House feels it would net results.
Well, it's not a question of trust, it's a question of actions. The president has described how he's been disappointed in the actions that we have seen from Russia over recent weeks.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Pack prepares for the Jets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers host the New York Jets this Saturday night. Are the players looking forward to playing in their first preseason game? Wide receiver Jaden Reed.
Yeah, it's always excitement, especially going back out of Lambeau, man, like going out to see the fans and, you know, just that environment. It's a different feel. You get chills and I'm excited, you know, for whatever that may be, you know, going out there. I'm excited for it.
Baseball, the Brewers have the night off before opening a weekend series against the Mets. The Crew beat the Braves 5-4 to complete a three-game sweep in Atlanta. Pat Murphy praised Jose Quintana and the pitching staff after the victory.
Bullpen was special tonight. Q, six-inning start. You look at that lineup. Eli White is as hot as anybody's got four homers in the last five games or something. Albies, Olsen, Ozuna, Murphy, Profar, Harris. Those guys have been an all-star or whatever. That's a good lineup.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Wednesday has been a big hit for Netflix, winning four Emmys last year. The show, a loose spinoff of the Addams Family, follows Wednesday Addams as she comes to terms with her powers during her years at the Nevermore Academy. Wednesday stars Jenna Ortega, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Fred Armisen, and Nightlight regular Jamie McShane. The first part of season two is currently available on Netflix, and the final four episodes will drop September 3rd. There's news about the summer I turned pretty. Not the summer I... Pete Schwabe turned pretty. Still waiting for that. But actual news about the Amazon Prime show. The show is based on a book trilogy of the same title and for the most part has gone step by step with the storylines. Producers of the show have decided to go off book, so to speak, and add a sex scene. No word yet on as to what the sex scene entails or to what base the characters go to. My guess is they go all the way, but it could just be third base. The story follows a love triangle between Isabel and brothers Jeremiah and Conrad. Sounds saucy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with lows in the low 70s. Hazy, hot, and humid tomorrow, high in the upper 80s to 90, heat index approaching 100. Storm chances return for the upcoming weekend. Not as warm, but humid. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years, to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, the weekend is almost here. We're looking at weekend activities across the state of Wisconsin and look at the news and the weird and wacky with Peter Rapine of EPOM's World. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
I just love that tagline. Hey, we have our friend again, Kami Weston. And Kami, welcome. And here I go. I'm going to say where you're from here. So everyone keep your fingers crossed. Owa mini yo mini oko da yapi.
Pretty good. Thank you. You're getting better each time.
Getting better each time. That's awesome.
Good job, Jaji.
My Ahinu here, Jaleesa McKee, was like going, oh my, when I was reading it to her before during the commercial, she was just like, just have her introduce herself. And it's like, oh, I've done it. I thought I did pretty good last time, but now I'm getting better. Thanks, Kami. And thanks again for being on and talking about what your organization's doing and what's coming up.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be back. I enjoy visiting with you guys and hanging out for a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about your organization and what they're doing, and then the event that's coming up, and in that order, because we always have new listeners.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my name is Kami Weston. I am the project and program coordinator for Owamini Yomini Okoreyapi. We're a Dakota-led organization creating a future for Dakota culture. Creating a presence and using Dakota values down at the Stone Arch Bridge area, St. Anthony Falls, just to bring back the importance and our cultural heritage back.
A lot of people listening do not realize how sacred of an area that has been for thousands of years for the Lakota and Dakota people of Turtle Island. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that. I know things look a lot different than they did back then. You know, we have the dam there and things like that, but you guys are really bringing back the knowledge of what the first peoples really were doing down there and have been doing down there for thousands of years.
Yeah, you know, it's been our home for time immemorial. This is where our Dakota people emerged from and where we were originally from. So to see the process of it being transformed into as close as we can get it to what it used to be is awesome. And it's a great journey so far. If you look at historical pictures, you can simply Google St. Anthony Falls and you'll see pictures of the area before all the construction and before Minneapolis was even a thing and before all the mills and the dam and the Army Corps of Engineers building there. So it wasn't that wasn't that long ago. You know, our history is very short. And when we talk about our history and our ancestors, you know, non-Indigenous people, they perceive it as being like ancient, like a long time ago, but it wasn't. Yeah. It was only 100 years ago, you know, less than 100 years ago, that we were thriving with our culture and our people being there.
It's interesting too. We have a boat on the river. We used to be on the St. Croix, and we have a boat on the river, and used to be able to go up there, and they closed the dam, which is good because we don't want invasive jumping carp fish coming up past there and keep it pristine. And so your work and the organization's work of preserving it and bringing it back and talking about the history is so important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of research and studies going on, especially with our water relatives, or the fish in the area, the different wildlife just in that area. Right now, there's muskrats that are coming back. I think there's like three of them now over at the site, which they weren't there before. And, you know, muskrats in our history, in Dakota history, and even Ojibwe and other history, they play an important role in our creation stories and just, you know, our way of life. So it's pretty cool to see all these little animals coming back to the area, all these different birds. It's a migratory stop for a lot. So it's great, just a great natural area right there in downtown Minneapolis.
You know, we've talked about this too, that there is positions where you can find out the history. Can we talk just a little bit about that. Do you have like little postings that people can use their smartphone, if I remember correctly?
Oh, yeah. So right now we have interpretive signs all across the bridge. And it's an audio tour, basically. So if you start on one end, you'd be able to see the sign. And you can read through it, too. But if you use your phone and scan the QR code, you'll be able to hear Dakota language at this site. And that was like really important for us to bring back the language to the land and to the water right there at Owamni Omni. And so, yeah, it's really cool. And now we have signs that go all the way across, and it tells like different information, how to take tours at the site, who to contact. It takes you to our website, and it just gives a brief history, brief story of the area. And it's pretty cool.
It's very cool. And I was on the website a couple days ago, and that is an unbelievable website with all the information that you have on there. Can you give that website to our listeners?
Yeah, it's owamniyomni.org. You can find us on Facebook and on Instagram also at owamniyomniokodayapi. And all props go to the communications team. They do a wonderful job at updating it. Anytime there's media or press release or any updates, you know, they put it on there right away. And they keep it updated. So all credit goes to them. But it is, it's a beautiful website.
It is. It's so informative. I was really kind of surprised because I was looking, you know, for the spelling of some things on there. And so I was just going, wow, I can get deep into this. Hey, there's a thing happening coming up soon with the Stone Arch Bridge. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So as you guys know, there's been construction on, we say our side of the bridge just because it touches our area. There's construction on the bridge on our side over there at Owamni Omni, and they're actually done sooner than anyone expected. And so they're going to have like a reopening, grand reopening, but it's the Stone Arch Bridge Festival on Saturday, August 9th. And it starts at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday. And that's pretty exciting for us because now our tours that we've been hosting with whoever wants to join, but we have public monthly tours also every first Saturday of the month. Since construction started, we've had to do them on the other side of the bridge, on the east side of the bridge, at Father Hennepin Park, which is okay. You know, the river is all one. So we've still been able to do what we need to do and teach and inform people of the area and the site and the stories. But now we're able to come back to our side and really be there on our land.
I just really appreciate this because there's a group that I'm a member of that has to do with a lot of the seven county area infrastructure. And I'm in a Native American advisory board for the Met Council. And one of the things I never knew was from the Mississippi River, from Minneapolis to St. Paul, there were only three fish alive in 1923. And then the third fish died when they were counting it. And what's transpired here in the Twin Cities especially is that we are cleaning it up slowly but surely and going back to its roots. So it's really exciting. And there's a YouTube video about that. And it just blows my mind how polluted with the raw sewage that was pouring in. And the river and water is life, is a relative of ours, as you kind of alluded to earlier, is a relative, and it's a living thing.
That's a crazy thing to think about, that there was only three fish in the river at that time. Well, two, if you think about it, since that third guy died.
Right.
But the effort to... the collective effort of everyone wanting to just help the river, help the water and the animals that live in there has been amazing so far. And I'm looking forward to the future of what that's going to be pretty soon.
Yeah. And it's turning into pretty quickly. And I think the organization that you're with is leading the way, and it's just nothing but a good thing. It's a win-win for anybody that's a citizen of the state or the Twin Cities. It's just a good thing.
Yeah, you know, our efforts down there at Ouamani Yomani is really going to benefit not just Dakota people, because that's where we're from, that's where we have a lot of history there, but just everybody who lives in the area, who also, if they don't live in the area and just want to go check it out. Because right now, if you go down there, there's a lot of hard edges with the lock and the Army Corps building and the parking lot and all the construction that was there. So really giving the people and non-indigenous and indigenous alike, giving them a space where they can reconnect to the land and water, and bringing Dakota people that feeling of being home again right there in the middle of the city, is pretty crazy to think about.
It's really crazy. And what I know about the Lakota Dakota people being Ho-Chunk, that they took our language, the Siouan language. Oh, just kidding. The creation story on that water is from the Lakota Dakotas and where they came from and came to be. And it's very sacred to them and to everyone that knows that.
Yeah, you know, the area specifically where they came from at, it ties into all the waterways in Minnesota, in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, this is Dakota homelands. We're the only people that don't have a migration story to the area. And right. So that's what brings so much significance in the importance of us being seen, being having a presence in the area, which has been suppressed for so long.
Yeah, and it's funny too. People really don't realize this, but it's illegal for you to be living in the state along with Ho-Chunk. And because we were exiled from here in 1862 along with the Lakota Dakotas, and so we kind of, as a Ho-Chunk, we kind of wear that as a badge of courage. We don't want we're here, and regardless of your laws. Mm-hmm. Hey. Really great having you on, and thank you so much for stopping in, and hopefully see you in a couple weeks with some more updates. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Pini Gigi.
Hey, right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back after this short break, Jaleesa.
Yes, we are, Jaji. Stay with us.
Ho-wa.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. Native culture is alive and thriving at the Minnesota State Fair. The Native Roots Trading Post is back at the West End Market, where you can support indigenous artists and makers. And don't miss the Native Pride dancers performing on the summit stage at the bazaar August 31st and September 1st. From music and art to food and storytelling, Native culture is everywhere at the State Fair. Tickets are just $17 through August 20th at mnstatefair.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. you know, this is our fourth segment, Jaleesa, so I know you really enjoy this part of the show.
Oh, because we want to bring awareness to the wolf population here in Minnesota and in, you know, Wisconsin. You know, we're Ho-Chunk, them too, but all the wolves there.
We're going to add Kamiya back on. I see she's back in the stage, and I wanted to see if she wants to add anything. Good to see you again. I wanted to add one thing, Kami. We're getting you back here. We should have got you back for the hall. Maybe we'll do it again. But I love I love the woodwork of your house. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. You know, we moved over here, and when we moved into the house, the lady told us that it was built in the 1850s. Whoa. So it has original woodwork floors and trim around all the doors and stuff. So it's really nice.
That's great. And your lighting is amazing. You look beautiful for our listeners. She looks stunning.
Exactly. Thank you. There's a nice window right in front of me, so that helps. Yeah.
Well, just to talk about wood for a second, that wood probably in your house is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. Mm-hmm. And the wood that we build in houses now are maybe 5 to 10 years old. And that's like a totally different, not only look, but how strong it is. And, mm-hmm. and so that, I just wanted to say that that's really, really, really old wood too then.
Yeah. It looks really nice too.
So do you have anything else to add? Because we just kind of shuffled you along there, and then I noticed you're still on. So I wanted to bring you back, and seeing it's live radio, we can do that, right, Jaleesa?
Absolutely. We want to make sure we have everything announced and shared that you want to share. Go ahead.
Yeah. So on Saturday at the Stone Arch Bridge Festival, Owamniomi Okora the staff we'll be there, and we'll be explaining and demonstrating how to play plum seed game and also moccasin games down below the bridge at our site. And we're also going to be having teepees set up there. And it's a family friendly event hosted by the Minnesota Department of Transportation along with us. And so there's also going to be a drum group that'll be singing around 12:30-ish until closing. So food trucks, games, culture. We'll be there on Saturday.
Awesome. I imagine my friend Barry Hand will be down there doing one of those things, right?
He'll be doing all of it.
That's right. He'll be singing. And I love Barry. I worked with Barry for many years in the high school setting.
Nice.
Yeah, great. But thank you guys so much. And I enjoyed talking with you guys.
Yeah, and I'm glad you stayed on and were able to share that with us. And one more time before we let you go, too, give the website, the spelling, and how people can get more informed about your organization. You know, and I like to say, Owamni Yomini Oko Ada Yapi. Hoa.
That's getting better.
That's next time you get on, it'll be even better.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, owamniyomini.org. It's owamniyomni.org. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram.
Kami Weston Pinigigi, thank you so much for coming on and coming back on too. And that's some important stuff to talk about too, for sure. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you guys.
All right, cool. Wow, that was awesome. I'm glad we brought her back on too. There was some more information that we wanted to talk about.
I want to make that clear to the listeners too.
Yeah, definitely. Good. Well, what do you got going? I know you and your sister are working hard at for the state fair, and there's a lot of designs you're working on. And
yeah, you
guys,
too.
You guys just thank you. You guys are just doing candles too, and that's exciting, because when we first opened Native Roots Trading Post, it was like scarves and candles were the big seller.
Yeah. Do you remember that? At downtown Dayton's, that was like we couldn't keep enough in stock, and that was eye opening. Oh, that was like COVID days. I remember one day I couldn't smell, man. That was a tough time. But yeah, anyway, that was great. But then also to add on the other things, like the rice is great. Other things that we've created, the
new scarf design this year too.
Yes. Yep. We've got our new scarf design. And the beaters, the amazing beaters that we work with and wholesale with, we're excited to continue that.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have the games there again this year. We've been talking. We have the hats, land back, which I have to order.
Yes. I think those sold out. If you want the We Are Native Land hats, we've partnered with them, and they they went, I think, day three of the state fair.
Yeah.
So last year. So yeah, we'll have a lot of great merch and great artwork.
Yeah, definitely. It's exciting. And I love this time of year. You know, as a kid, I worked at the fair when I was like 12 or 13. I worked at, and that was the days they didn't have a lot of laws, and I would help clean the fair up until from like 2 in the morning or 12 at night till 5 in the morning. And my poor dad had to come pick me up and drop me off. And I've worked at, I ran into a person that I went to high school with, and I worked, he has a Prono Pup stand at the state fair. And you know what? I worked for him and the Prono Pup people for 3 years during high school too. And then I worked in a restaurant out there. I've just done everything.
All the history at the Minnesota State Fair.
I've jumped the fence, you know, and not wanting to pay and hang out at KDWB. I don't know if people are old enough to remember that, but that's where people were smoking stuff by the station at night. And then the police had to come in every night on horses, on horseback to get rid of us.
Oh, they still do that. They still have some.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm usually in bed by then now.
I was just going to say the Midway gets to be quite the scene at night. So everybody be careful. But I love the Midway, especially at night, because I just love the lights and just kind of that, like, you know, it's just that vibe, that Minnesota State Fair. Just fun and adventure.
So one of the things I want to talk about every time we're on until the fair, Jaleesa, is that, you know, where they can find it. Some people, the West End, we always just say the West End, but the West End is across, if you keep going, if you go towards the Midway, go to the right, which would be north.
Yep, if you're facing the Midway.
Yeah.
So like those restaurants in that would be kind of to your right and kind of to your left and kind of behind you. And then we're to the left if you're facing outward to the Midway. And we're then, to the right.
And then to find us, we're kind of by old windmill.
Old
Fannin by the hill.
So
we're on the end. And we're right next to a taxidermist, so it's almost like a Cowboys and Indians happening right there.
When you said that the first year, I about died. That was so funny. And then, of course, we had our big teepee up, and I was teasing you and Micah because, you know, my brother-in-law here, he's Ojibwe, Leech Lake, shout out.
Oh,
and, you know, him and Jaji here, y'all's host, Robert Pilot, was trying to put the teepee back up. And I just said, oh, how many Indians does it take to get the teepee back up? It was just so funny.
Screwing
because
the light bulb,
the storm took the teepee. But, of course, we had it back up, and that was fun.
First year storm, let's talk about that for a second.
Well, and there was somebody reminding me there was a big one last year, too. And I'm going, oh my gosh,
we closed doors.
I think I remember
during the day that time, but at night when you're talking about the teepee,
that was at night. but I remember, well, last year we had such a storm, and our fellow neighbors that are own a plant shop, so shout out to them if you're interested in buying a plant at the state fair. They had to kind of like go into their tent and kind of, you know, savor all the plants that they could. It was pretty dramatic. We're lucky we have more of a permanent space so we can zip up and be okay.
I swear to God, I saw Micah go off the ground though like a kite when he was trying to zip down the middle one.
Yes.
The wind picked up. And then I hadn't, because I tore my quad tendon years ago.
Uh-huh.
I haven't run in so many years, and I ran out of there.
You and Wendy were out of there.
Yeah.
We
drove away. Then no, we went to the bathroom too.
We had to be in the bathroom, So
the water
we go through quite a bit at the state fair, but we
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll talk to Kiev Akil, senior political editor with Courier Newsroom, on the latest battles when it comes to making mischief with congressional maps.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together.
Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Two Pennsylvania state troopers were shot this morning while responding to a domestic violence call. Authorities say a man shot and killed his neighbor, and when troopers arrived,
they were ambushed by several rounds of rifle fire from a position of tactical superiority.
State Police Colonel Christopher Paris says two hospitalized troopers are now stable. The Gifford Fire in Central California has burned in the wilderness near Los Padres National Forest, but now officials are concerned it's moving towards inhabited areas. CBS's Jason Allen.
The structures that firefighters are having to pay attention to now went from just a few hundred to more than 1,500.
The National Hurricane Center has updated its forecast for the 2025 Atlantic hurricane season. For hurricanes, instead of 6 to 10, we're looking at 5 to 9. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
The peak of hurricane season comes in September, and we've still got well over 80% of the season left to go in terms of when we expect to see storms.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As Wisconsin.